Here we go.
Ready?
Yeah.
We better get 10 seconds on this.
Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, May 14, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. In the Hebrew scriptures, it's Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, because it was such a significant prophetical passage in the Word of God. Joel 2:28-32. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Word of God, we've gone over passages again and again and again that describe Satan as not only the ruler of planet Earth, but the one who is deceiving the nations. And as the ruler of planet Earth right now, he is in high gear deceiving the nations of planet Earth, deceiving the United States of America. We are living in a nation of lies and deception. And it just demonstrates that the pivot of mature believers in Client Nation USA is shrinking, shrinking, shrinking to nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hal Lindsey had an article, Lied to Death. During the time leading up to America's Civil War, the United States was torn in two. Today's division is not like that. This is not a time of breaking in two, but of splintering into thousands. We see the results in churches, families, courts, legislative bodies, political parties, businesses, and social movements. Former allies have now gone to war with one another. It's as if Satan himself opened a great can of itching powder and cast it on the world. In this case, the itching powder has a name. deception. American conservatives are fighting one another over wars in Gaza and the Ukraine. One conservative media group is openly split between those who believe America should stand with Israel and those who believe Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinians. Of course, the irony is that through their Hamas and PLO leaders, Palestinians have long called for genocide against the Jews. Sometimes, at great risk, Israeli defense forces have shown repeatedly that they desire to target only militants and not civilians. Notice the relationship between deception and division. Divide and conquer often means deceive and destroy. Jesus told us that Satan is the father of lies. John 8:44. The Lord also told us that Satan knows that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Luke 11:17-18. Satan is all about destruction through deception. Genesis 3. In Matthew 24:4, Jesus began his famous Olivet Discourse about the last days by saying, "Take heed that no man deceive you." During his discourse, he repeated that warning several times. Lies are not new, but a special kind and level of deception must characterize the time leading up to our Lord's return. Today, deception has been mechanized and digitized. One person with one small pocket-sized telephone can compose a lie and spread it to millions instantly. Sad thing is, some of you look to that stuff. Lies have been around for a long time, but they have never before been so easy to create, to replicate, and disseminate. Lies and fake news permeate the social landscape. Sometimes they are big, bald-faced lies, like saying Israel's committing suicide, genocide. At other times, the lie may be a subtle rewording of a real quote, but whatever form they take, lies are everywhere. And the father of lies, Satan, is loving it. In Matthew 24:7, Jesus specifically warned of splintering societies. He said, "Nation shall rise against nation." And the Greek word translated nation is ethnos, from which we get the English word ethnic. He was warning us about intense divisions between people groups of all kinds. And these divisions are not a one and done kind of thing. a group divides, then the two resulting groups have divisions, and on it goes. Like nuclear fission, the chain reaction of divisions can lead to massive explosions. For years, I have said that before Jesus returns, something is going to happen to the United States so that the United States will no longer be a global power. I was thinking of obvious disasters along the lines of nuclear war or economic meltdown. I didn't think our nation would be buried by a giant mudslide of lies. But that is exactly what's happening in the United States of America. Bible-believing Christians, and there aren't that many of those anymore, Bible-believing Christians have what the world needs. In a time when it gets more and more difficult to find anything or anyone you can trust, we proclaim Jesus, the one who boldly proclaimed in John 14:6, I am Aletheia, I am the absolute truth. Jesus Christ is the absolute truth. The Word of God is absolute truth. Christians don't want Bible doctrine. They want their ears tickled and pastor patting them on the head and telling them how great they are when they're reversionists. So they find there's lots of mega churches out there. All thousands of people come. And there's nothing there. Nothing. Nothing but programs, no Bible doctrine. And that's all believers want today if they want anything. That's it. The only hope for the United States of America, and after the rapture, the United States isn't even mentioned in the Word of God. Nowhere. We are a zero. We are not a global power at all. And that's where we are. We are living on the edge of the volcano right now, where we will not be a world power at all. Anymore. At all. The rapture takes place, there is no United States of America. There's the King of the North, Russia, the Kings of the East, China, South, the Pan-Arabic Bloc, Kings of the South, and the revived Roman Empire, and the Antichrist, Europe. There is no United States of America. Zero, nothing, nada. And yet, what do we, the few conservative believers, what do they spend all their time talking about? Politics. Let's get out and crusader arrogance. You got to vote for this guy. You got to do this. That's asinine. You don't have enough Bible doctrine to come in out of the rain. You need Bible doctrine. The only hope is to get a large enough pivot. The pivot's shrinking. The pivot's got to get larger. There aren't that many faithful pastors anymore communicating the Word of God. But then there's no believers anymore that want to hear the Word of God. And the pivot keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And we're watching our nation disintegrate right before our eyes. And it isn't politics that will deliver America. It will only be delivered under the principle that Jesus Christ controls history, and if there's a large enough pivot, he will bless America. And if the pivot is too small, he will destroy America. One or the other, and he'll be righteousness and justice regardless of what he does. He is holy. Jesus Christ is the holy God. Infinite integrity, infinite virtue, absolute righteousness, perfect justice. And when there's a large enough pivot, Jesus Christ will bless America. When it's too small, Jesus Christ will judge America. And it's the same holy God. We're being judged by Jesus Christ as we speak right now. Now, I know most of you have right there been here with me. And some of you say, well, why are you yelling at us? I'm not just yelling at you. This will go out all over America, all around the world, to churches all throughout the United States of America and other countries. I'm yelling at them. Anybody that'll listen. So you happen to come on a bad night, because you have to listen, see. Eye to eye, face to face. Well, Joel chapter 2, one of the most significant prophetical passages in the Word of God. Joel 2, 28 to 32. Describing that part of the day of the Lord concerning the Great Tribulation, the last half of the tribulation, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth, and the millennial kingdom, that 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet earth. In Joel 2, 28 and 29, the millennial kingdom will be a time of unprecedented spirituality with great ecstatics. Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it will come about after this, I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind, because the millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Just like in the days of Noah, judgment came on the world. There were only 8 survivors, Noah, his wife, and their sons and their wives. And that was it. 8. Only 8 members of humanity survived the worldwide deluge, the Mabul. All the rest of mankind was destroyed. And Jesus Christ said, just as in the days of Noah, so it will be at his second advent, his coming. All unbelievers will be destroyed, baptism of fire. In Noah's day, they were destroyed by water. When he comes back the next time, baptism of fire. All unbelievers destroyed. Only believers are rescued. A remnant, a small remnant, will be rescued and go into the millennial kingdom. And he says, I will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. And even on the male and female slaves, servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, the millennial kingdom. And then in verses 30 and 31, he tells us when this will take place. And I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. And then in Joel 2:32, He gives the qualifications for entering the millennial kingdom. This paragraph, Joel 2:28-32, describes three great spiritual experiences to be enjoyed by the remnant of believers. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all believers with great ecstatic, verses 28 and 29. The coming of the Lord to deliver the remnant of believers and rescue them from the Antichrist and the false prophet, verses 30 and 31. And then, verse 32, salvation of the remnant. But I do want you to notice that only a remnant out of all the people on planet Earth will be saved and be delivered to enter the millennial kingdom. Most of the ones who believe in Jesus Christ during the tribulation will be martyred for their faith in Christ, Revelation 20, verse 4. Zechariah states that 2/3 of the Jewish population will be killed during the tribulation. But the 1/3 who survive will be a part of the remnant who call upon the Lord. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9. The spared remnant will be those who obey the mandates of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ will supernaturally provide a place of protection for them in the wilderness during the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, Revelation 12, verse 6, Revelation 12, 13 and 14, Revelation 12, 16, Matthew 24, verses 15 to 21. Before Israel went into the land of Canaan, Moses prophesied that a remnant would turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ and obey him. Deuteronomy 4, 30 and 31. In the day of the Lord, many Jewish people who have had a veil over the eyes of their heart. And what is that veil over the eyes of the heart? Scar tissue of the heart. For centuries will have it lifted. And they will see and believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 3:14 to 16, Zechariah 12, verse 10. And whenever anyone turns to the Lord and believes in Jesus Christ, that veil of scar tissue on the heart is removed. 2 Corinthians 3:14 to 16. And God will bring to fruition the previous prophesied provisions prophesied in the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Well, that has brought us to the last verse. Verse 32, qualification for entering the millennial kingdom. And it shall come to pass, the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal perfect of the verb haya. The conjunction vav, this is a neat thing in the Hebrew that you don't have in the Koine Greek, but you do have in the Hebrew. There's the vav. And this is called a vav conversive. Only in the Hebrew, not in the Greek. The vav conversive converts the perfect tense that we have into an imperfect tense. And the imperfect has the force of the future tense, and therefore this will occur in the future. That is the day of the Lord, the tribulation, the second advent will all occur in the future. And then haya. H-A-Y-A-H, Haya. And Haya means to come about or to come to pass. And so we translate it with the Vav conversive. And it will come about that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is kol plus the relative pronoun asher, joined by a makef to the kal imperfect of the verb kara, plus the preposition beth, prefixed to the noun shame, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the niphal imperfect of the verb malat. All right. The noun kol. K-O-L, kol. Literally, it means the whole of or all. It is often used idiomatically to mean everyone, whoever, all the ones. And we will translate it everyone. And then we have the relative pronoun asher. Aleph, A-S-H-E-R, asher, relative pronoun, translated who, everyone, who, and then we have the verb kara, Q-A-R-A, Aleph, kara. And kara is the verb that means to call. And specifically here, it is prayer, referring to prayer. To express faith. To express the prayer of faith in Jesus Christ. And then the preposition beth, faith in, bishava, in. Faith in, the call of faith in, and then we have shame. S-H-E-M, shame. Now shame can literally means name. It refers to the person. You're not placing your faith in the name. You're placing your faith in the person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And then we have the tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. Y-H-W-H. So holy, the Orthodox Jews never pronounced. If you pronounced it, it'd be Yahweh. They never pronounced Yahweh. They saw that and read Adonai. This is the Lord, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is calling on prayer of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then malat. M-A-L-A-T, malat. Couple of things on this verb malat. One, malat means to literally it means to slip away or to escape. To slip away or to escape. And we have the niphal stem, and the niphal stem is the passive of the kal stem. So, point two, everyone who believes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the action of being delivered. They will escape something. Everyone who believes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will receive the action of being delivered. they will escape something. Three, the remnant that believes in Jesus Christ will be delivered from the judgment administered by Christ at his second coming. They will be delivered from the baptism of fire. For the second coming of the Lord will be just like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, all unbelievers were destroyed by water, the worldwide deluge. At the second advent, all unbelievers are destroyed by the baptism of fire. So the remnant that believes in Jesus Christ will be delivered from the judgment administered by Christ at the second coming. They will be delivered from the baptism of fire. Four, they will slip away and escape the judgment which will come upon all unbelievers. They will slip away and escape the judgment which will come upon all unbelievers. Five, they will be delivered from eternal condemnation. They will be delivered from eternal condemnation. Six, their faith in Jesus Christ will qualify them to enter the millennial kingdom. And only believers enter the millennial kingdom. Their faith in Jesus Christ will qualify them to enter the millennial kingdom. Seven, their faith in Jesus Christ will rescue them from the judgment which will come upon all unbelieving mankind at the second advent. Their faith in Jesus Christ will rescue them from the judgment which will come upon all unbelieving mankind at the second advent. So we have so far. And it will come about that everyone who calls, this is prayer of faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be delivered. They will escape the judgment of the baptism of fire. And it will come about that everyone who calls in prayer, prayer of faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be delivered. They will escape the judgment of the baptism of fire. And then we have, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. This is the conjunction key, plus the preposition beth prefixed to har with tzion, plus the preposition beth prefixed to Yerushalayim, with the conjunction vav prefix, plus the kal imperfect of haya, plus the noun paleta. Now, for many of our verses here recently, key, you say, well, after verbs of decendi, you know, it means that. But this isn't a verb of decendi, and here key is a causal conjunction. Correctly translated, because, and then Bahar Tzion, in Har Mount or Mountain Tzion Zion, in Mount Zion, because in Mount Zion, Bahar Tzion, and then we have U Birushalayim, U is and Beth. In and in Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And then the Kal imperfect of Hayah, the imperfect has the force of the future. There will be Paleta. Paleta. P, Shiva, L, long E, T, A, H, Paleta. And Paleta, those who escape. And it will come about that everyone who calls in prayer of faith in the person of the Lord, Jesus Christ, will be delivered. They will escape the judgment of the baptism of fire, because in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape. And then we have, as the Lord has said, Kal perfect of the verb Amer plus the tetragrammaton. Amer Jehovah, correctly translated, as the Lord has said, that correctly translated. Wow. King James nailed it. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Ooh. In the remnant whom the Lord shall call. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the preposition beth with the definite article, plus the plural of the noun sariv, plus the relative pronoun asher, plus the tetragrammaton, plus the kal active participle of kara. Now the conjunction vav here, not a conversive vav, it's an ascensive vav. And when you have an ascensive vav, it's correctly translated even. Even. And then the preposition beth, which means either in or among. Here it means among. And then sarid. That's S-A-R-I-D. Now you see, it's really important. You know this. When that little dot is on this side, it's an S. Seen. When the little dot's over here, it's sheen. But it was over here, so it's sarid. If it was over here, it'd be sharid. But it's over here. So get that off there. Sarid. And sarid comes from the verb sarad. A-R-A-D. S-A-R-A-D, sarad. And the verb sarad means to escape. But this, that's the verb, sarad means to escape. We have the noun sarid, and sarid means the one who escapes or the survivor. The one who escapes or the survivor. And then the relative pronoun asher, whom, and then the tetragrammaton plus kara, Jehovah, Korah, whom the Lord calls, whom the Lord invites to believe in him. And it will come about that everyone who calls in prayer, the prayer of faith, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be delivered. They will escape the judgment of the baptism of fire. Because in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape. As the Lord has said, even among the survivors, whom the Lord calls. Whom the Lord calls. Now this is absolute truth. God invites man to believe in Christ. The Lord invites mankind to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord does the invitation. And we are so sloppy. We're so sloppy because we don't know a damn thing, and nobody wants to know. And they talk about inviting. I invited Christ into my life. I invited Christ into my heart, and therefore I'm a believer. You're not a believer. Just because you invited, you don't do the inviting. The Lord does the inviting and invites you to come to Him. And how do you come to the Lord? By faith in Him. You believe in Jesus Christ. He invites you to believe in Him. He invites you to come to Him. You don't invite Him to come to you. That's, well, you've had this a few times, back asswards. It isn't going to work. So, one, this phrase, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls, one, this is divine invitation. This is divine invitation. Two, in the grace gospel, the Lord does the inviting. In the grace gospel, the Lord does the inviting. Turn over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one speaking. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me. Come to me, Jesus Christ, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest is eternal salvation as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding a great Bible class here. And in John 6, verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, who's doing the inviting? Jesus Christ. The one who comes to me will never go hungry. And then he explains exactly what that means to come to him. And he, the one who believes in me, will never be thirsty. So he defines, the one who comes to me will never go hungry. He defines what that is. The one who believes in me will never be thirsty. And then verse 37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And in this same Bible class, in verse 46, he defines what that is, coming to him. Verse 47. I tell you the truth, the one who believes has everlasting life. So John 6:47 explains what it means to come to Christ. Three, so always in the salvation invitation, you go to Jesus Christ by believing in Him. Always in the salvation invitation, you go to Jesus Christ by believing in Him. Four, We don't invite Christ anywhere. He doesn't come to us. We don't invite Christ anywhere. We come to Him. How? By believing in Him. We come to Him by believing in Him. Five, there are two blasphemous invitations. Two blasphemous invitations. Inviting Christ into your heart is wrong. Inviting Christ into your life is wrong. Now, where does this even come from? Well, it comes from people who are in a church somewhere, or they read Revelation 3, verse 20. Turn over to Revelation 3. And they take this as a salvation passage. And it's not a salvation passage. Revelation 3, 19 and 20 is a rebound passage directed toward believers. Verse 19 says, those whom I love, believers in Jesus Christ, I rebuke, warning discipline, and punish, intensive discipline. So be earnest and repent. Change your thinking. That's rebound. Acknowledge your sin to God. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. Divine discipline. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, rebound. Acknowledging your sins to God. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Fellowship. You're back into fellowship with God. So Revelation 3:20 is addressed to believers. It's not addressed to unbelievers at all. Revelation 3:20 is a rebound verse. It has nothing whatever to do with salvation. But today, there is so little sound doctrinal teaching. Jeremiah 17:9 teaches about our heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We do not invite Christ into a garbage dump. So again, point five, there are two blasphemous invitations, inviting Christ into your heart, which is wrong, inviting Christ into your life, which is wrong. Six, in salvation, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, the Lord invites the unbeliever to believe in Him. In salvation, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, the Lord invites the unbeliever to believe in Him. We make no invitations to Jesus Christ. And if that is all that you have ever done, well, you ought to take a moment and simply believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Seven, in salvation through faith in Christ, He invites you to come to Him. We don't invite Him to come to us. In salvation through faith in Christ, He invites you to come to Him. We don't invite Him to come to us. Eight. In conclusion, inviting Christ into your heart or into your life is not the way of salvation. Rather, it is an emotional form of legalism, a false gospel. In conclusion, inviting Christ into your heart or into your life is not the way of salvation. Rather, it is an emotional form of legalism, a false gospel. 9, salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 10, this is tantamount to coming to Christ, not Christ going to you. This is tantamount to you coming to Christ, not Christ going to you. All right. Ta-da! The chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the Hebrew Scriptures is complete. And it sounds like this. And it will come about after this that I, God the Father, will pour out my Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams with prophetic meaning. Your young men will see visions in the ecstatic state. And even on the male and female slaves or servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, in the millennium. Verse 30, and I will display miraculous signs in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and terror-stricken day of the Lord. Verse 32. And it will come to pass that everyone who calls in prayer, the prayer of faith, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be delivered. They will escape the judgment of the baptism of fire, because in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who escape, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. The Lord's invitation to believe in Him. And there will be a remnant. The Jewish people have had scar tissue on their souls for 20 centuries. And at the end of the tribulation, they will see that Jesus is the Messiah. And when they realize that Jesus is the Messiah, well, it'll be quite emotional for many of them. They will cry. They will place their faith in Christ. They'll be a part of the remnant and go into the millennium. But it will be a very emotional time for them as well, because they realize that they are the ones who shouted out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And He was crucified. But in the process, paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world. All right. Chapter 2. Well, we don't have the Hebrew Scriptures. And chapter 2 now is in the can. And some of you are saying, well, there's still 5 minutes to go. I said, O ye of little faith. Chapter 3. Yeah. And I've been working hard on chapter 4. There is no chapter 4. Some of you are going, oh, well, that's nice. No, when chapter 3 of Joel's finished, I've already finished the first chapter in the next book. I'm in chapter 2 of the next book in the Old Testament we'll be teaching. No one's picked the winner yet. It does have to be an Old Testament book. Joel chapter 3. In Joel 3, verses 1 to 17, we have the judgment of the Gentiles for their treatment of Israel. The judgment of the Gentiles for their treatment of Israel. First of all, in Joel 3, verses 1 through 8, the judgment on the Gentile nations is announced. Joel 3, 1 through 8. So by way of introduction, 1, in Joel 3, verse 1, we have the restoration of Israel as the client nation to God. You see, right now there are so many nations and peoples all over planet Earth that want to see every Jew destroyed from the face of the earth. They want to see Israel destroyed. And there's a lot of people in America that think that way. They hate Israel. They hate the Jewish people. They blame Israel for everything going on. And they are satanic to the core. When you think that way, you are totally satanic to the core. You are so evil. You are a part of the problem in America. You are not the solution. You see, Israel is God's chosen people. He has given them 4 unconditional covenants that He will fulfill when He returns. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants will be fulfilled by Jesus Christ to the remnant of Jewish people. And they will be restored to the client nation of God. And the whole world will be blessed by association with Israel. The whole world will be blessed by association with Israel. And the Son of David, Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem. So in Joel 3, verse 1, we have the restoration of Israel as the client nation to God. 2. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the Jewish remnant back into their land, Israel. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will restore the Jewish remnant back into their land, Israel. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of David, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of David, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom. 4. Am I going too fast? Okay. The whole earth will be blessed by association. Who invented this blessing by association? God did. Fantastic principle that God has established. Blessing by association. The whole earth will be blessed by association with the nation Israel and with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. The whole earth will be blessed by association with the nation Israel and with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of David. 5. In Joel 3, verse 2, we have the Lord Jesus Christ gathering all the Gentile unbelievers from all the nations of the earth for judgment. In Joel 3, verse 2, we have the Lord Jesus Christ gathering all the Gentile unbelievers from all the nations of the earth for judgment. Six, therefore, in chapter 3, we are ushered into the Messiah's courtroom. In Joel chapter 3, we are ushered into the Messiah's courtroom. Seven, here we witness the execution of his judgment upon the Gentiles for their treatment of Israel. Here we witness the execution of his judgment upon the Gentiles for their treatment of Israel. Eight, their hatred of Israel and the Jewish people, their anti-Semitism is an expression of their negative volition and rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their hatred of Israel and the Jewish people, their anti-Semitism is an expression of their negative volition, their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, their rejection of God and the Word of God. Nine, the Gentiles' horrible treatment of Israel, their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish people is the basis of the Lord's judgment on them. The Gentiles' horrible treatment of Israel, their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Jewish people is the basis of the Lord's judgment on them. Joel chapter 3. All right. See, we got into chapter 3. Introduction. We're ready to roll. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.